Can Iran win the war imposed on it? Is Israel pushing for a World War III? And are we heading for a global economic meltdown? What's Iran's goal and what are its demands for peace? There are so many questions that arise from this aggression which the Israelis and the Americans have started. Who better to deal with this than Professor Mohammad Marandi from Tehran University? Welcome to the show, Professor.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you with us again. It's been a long time, but thank you so much for giving us your time under these really dangerous conditions, because I know you're constantly under threat yourself. And this is the reality that we face. There is a situation where the world holds its breath, and what people thought was a problem just for Iran is now exploding into a reality for all of the world, given the destruction of the Bushehr nuclear installations, the attack on the Pars gas installations, and the attack generally on Iran's civilian and infrastructures by the Israelis and the Americans. Your take, your overarching opinion of how the war has gone so far and where you think this is going?
We have to first remember that the sin of the Iranian people and the Lebanese resistance, Hezbollah, and the Iraqi resistance, and Ansarullah and the people of Yemen, is that they support the Palestinian people. They are opposed to genocide and ethnic cleansing and ethno-supremacism. That is their sin. And this alliance, this axis of resistance, is very much alone. We just saw the statement put out by the Turkish, Saudi, Egyptian, Pakistani, Kuwaiti, Emirati, Bahraini, Qatari, Omani regimes, along with others, condemning Iran, attacking Iran, just like with the UN Security Council resolution, whereas this war was imposed on the Iranian people. And the Iranians are only retaliating against those who carried out the war. And of course, the United States is using its bases in the Persian Gulf region and across the region to fight against Iran. So these regimes that are all complicit, almost all complicit, at least Turkey, Jordan, and the family dictatorships in the Persian Gulf, and the regime in Azerbaijan, in Baku, they are all complicit in this war against the Iranian people. They all have blood on their hands. They're all being agents of the empire. So Iran, without a doubt, will continue striking U.S. bases and U.S. assets across the region. But at least we're now seeing the divide. This is, I think, an event. Everyone has been exposed, from Erdogan to Sisi to Mohammed bin Salman to the despots across the Persian Gulf. They've all been exposed. The world now sees who they are, and the world sees who the axis of resistance is. And the world sees the true nature of the Israeli regime. It's since October the 7th, it's become fully exposed. And that, I think, in itself is a major victory. That's a moral victory. Yeah. And people across the world have to choose sides. For 47 years, the resistance, the Islamic Republic of Iran, its allies have all been demonized by the Western media, by the oil and gas rich regimes and their media empires, and of course the Erdogan regime, among others. But now people are seeing who is standing up against the empire, the Epstein class, the Epstein coalition, and who is complicit and cooperating with the Zionists and Operation Epstein Fury. That, I think, is huge. Just like the genocide and Holocaust in Gaza itself, the ongoing genocide the biggest defeat for the Israeli regime was that it was exposed. Before October the 7th, few people across the world were following events in Palestine. Most people were ignorant about the nature of the Israeli regime and its history. But the genocide caused people to do research. It caused people to wake up. And I think that is the biggest defeat of the Israeli regime. So this war that we're now seeing being played out for the last 3 weeks almost against the resistance and against Iran in particular is an extension of that awakening. So it's a victory. At another level, it is a major victory for the resistance in the Islamic Republic of Iran at the military level, because the invincible empire that has been ruling the globe on its own, this hyperpower, as it was called, for decades now, especially after the collapse of the Eastern Bloc, this empire, this invincible empire, has failed. And it's not even like Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam even, because in those countries, they succeeded in occupying either the entire countries or significant parts of countries. But in Iran, they failed to be able to occupy the country for the last 3 weeks, despite bringing all their assets to the region and being a coalition and having the full support of the collective West and their regional proxies. And Iran is striking back. They, out of desperation, we saw them strike Iranian key infrastructure, and Iran hit back very hard. And basically, Trump was put out a Truth Social statement saying that Israel will not do this again. He threatened Iran, of course, but it showed Iran's strength. He had to back down. So Iran is striking U.S. assets, Zionist assets, and the empire is outraged. But they failed. So Iran has won at the military level. But also, I think that a further achievement is that despite the global propaganda, this awakening goes beyond our region, and it goes beyond race or religion. Across the world, people are siding with the resistance. People are siding on the side of the Islamic Republic of Iran. For 47 years, they've heard nothing but anti-Iranian propaganda, anti-resistance propaganda. And they now see right through that propaganda, because they see that the only entity that is standing against genocide is the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Axis of Resistance. So they conclude that all the anti-Iranian propaganda that we've been hearing for 47 years about the so-called regime being evil, killing its own people, and all the other nonsense that we hear in the West, all of that propaganda has melted away. All of that propaganda has melted away. Except for those who want to keep their eyes closed. MAGA cultists, Wahhabi Salafi Takfiris, or any other group of people that are insisting on closing their eyes and not listening. Except for them, people are waking up. People have woken up. And this is the biggest defeat of the empire. So, and the fact that it comes right after the Epstein files were partially released and the cover-up continues, and the fact that it comes as Western regimes are visibly on the decline, it makes this all the more significant and capable of bringing about a paradigm shift.
So is Israel effectively pushing for a world war, given all these defeats? I mean, I have to agree with you that on so many levels, militarily, in terms of the propaganda war, if you like, the war of narratives, Iran is winning hands down on virtually all these fields, apart from where the Zaya Western media has complete control and they put out complete disinformation. Generally, people on social media across the world are waking up. They're seeing live streamed decimation of Tel Aviv. They're seeing that Iran is effective in its military response. And they're also recognizing that Iran didn't want this war. They weren't the ones doing it. Halfway through the negotiations, as you said, they were betrayed once again. And even the British intelligence, the head of British intelligence who was monitoring those negotiations, has now admitted there was insufficient reason for the US and Israel to declare war because there was genuine progress being made in those talks. So, and that, of course, is also reflected in Joe Kent and his admissions as well about this ridiculous war. And is Israel's objective really now, given it's losing on so many fronts, to head for a global economic meltdown, to head for a World War III? Are they just so psychotic and so crazy that they're willing to go that way now?
Well, it is a World War III of sorts already. The nature of a world war is not necessarily always similar in all aspects. The First World War is different from the Second World War. What we're experiencing today and witnessing today is a world war of sorts. It's a war where the Epstein class wishes to preserve its dominance. And as AI and the new technologies are being developed, they wish to have imposed complete control over the rest of the world. And so in a sense, it is a world war of sorts. And we see that through the statements made by these Arab or so-called Muslim regimes against Iran, just like the UN Security Council's resolution against Iran, which say nothing about the aggression. They say nothing about the war and the murder of Iranian children and Iran's leader. It says nothing about the fact that Iranian key assets and installations and infrastructure have been repeatedly bombed. It says nothing about the fact that hospitals are being bombed, schools are being bombed, ambulances are being bombed. It says nothing about that. All these, when you look at that, when you look at the statement put out by these regimes bound to the West and the UN Security Council resolution that says nothing about the aggression and Iran's right to retaliate against U.S. bases and U.S. assets and Zionist bases and assets, when you look at all that, it is a global war.
And
it is a global war. It is a global war against the oppressed, against the victims of empire, but they are failing. The ruling class in the West, the Zionists, the Epstein class, they're failing. And the regional proxies and NATO can do nothing about it. And the Europeans, out of fear for what is happening, are very cautious. They're trying to disobey their masters in Washington, and are creating a catastrophe. And I think that the fact that the Iranians back down. He said the Israelis will not strike Iran again. But the fact that they carried out this attack, the fact that they continue with this war, despite the fact that the Strait of Hormuz is closed and the price of energy is going up, shows that the Israeli regime has no regard for, and the Zionist lobby and the Epstein class have no regard for the international community. It's interesting. In India, the prime minister who went and to Israel and pledged some sort of unofficial allegiance to the regime or alliance, the regime, the Israeli regime, through this war is wrecking the Indian economy. And in order to prevent mass unemployment and misery in India and in Pakistan and the subcontinent, it allowed a couple of ships to get through despite the war. But the Israeli regime doesn't care about Americans or American citizens or European citizens or Indian citizens or Chinese citizens. They only care about themselves because they're ethno-supremacists. For them, it's not just the Palestinians that are Amalek. Everyone is Amalek because they are the chosen people. They are the master race. So when you are above and beyond everyone else, that means everyone else is subhuman. So they don't care about the global economy and the well-being of billions of people.
So the objectives of Israel and the US, which is being dragged along with it by some people's estimation, others will say they're partners in crime, is essentially to make Iran bend the knee, to destroy its, decapitate its upper echelon, its establishment, and to basically be able to freely plunder the Iranian resources in future and to be able to secure West Asia as part of what they're pushing for, the Pax Judaica, you know, the primacy of Israel, the independent primacy of Israel. These are some of the objectives which Netanyahu, you know, who's track record of genocide in Gaza speaks for itself, has clearly stated these are the objectives they've got. What are the Iranian goals and demands for peace in the region? What's their vision compared to this quite imperialistic, you know, supremacist vision that Netanyahu's offered?
This is not just Netanyahu. We saw the U.S. ambassador to occupied Palestine basically say that if the Israeli regime takes the entire region, that's fine. That is U.S. policy. That is unofficial U.S. policy. And he also said that the Israeli regime's armed forces are the most moral in the world. So effectively, if they want to take the region, they can continue carrying out genocide in the West Bank and in neighboring countries until they get their way. That is the policy of the empire. That is the policy of the Epstein coalition, the Epstein class. That is the objective of Operation Epstein Fury. That is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So it is for people across the world and especially the region to stand up to this. But again, empty statements by Erdogan and Mohammed bin Salman and Sisi and the other U.S. proxies. Just like their statements now. But Iran will resist. Iran is standing up against the Epstein clubs. It is standing up against genocide. The Islamic Republic of Iran will not accept ethno-supremacism in Palestine or in the neighboring areas. And the irony, of course, is that Iran is the least threatened by the Israeli regime of all these countries. Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, they are much closer, geographically speaking, to the regime than Iran is. Yet they all bend the knee. But Iran is not going to bow to anyone. The Islamic Republic of Iran will continue resisting and it will defeat. It will defeat the United States and the Israeli regime. It will impose a strategic defeat on them. Even though the price is high, even though they're slaughtering kids, even though they bomb people on the streets as they are demonstrating against the United States and the Israeli regime and demonstrating in support of the armed forces and the leader. I've just tweeted moments ago a stunning video in the port of Anzali, in Anzali City in northern Iraq. People were on the streets last night demonstrating, and the Epstein coalition bombed them, and people didn't budge. I witnessed that personally on Friday on International Quds Day in Tehran, a gathering that's, these gatherings are held across the country on the last Friday of Ramadan. People were fasting as we continue to fast. They went to Enghalab Street in Tehran. Of course, these rallies take place across the country simultaneously. But in Tehran, huge crowds went to this protest against ethno-supremacism and in defense of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I was there. The Epstein coalition bombed the protesters. A woman was murdered. You do not see any of this in Western media. But people stood their ground.
And so
no one moved.
Moving on from this bravery, this courage being shown on the ground, and of course, the sadness of seeing 168 plus girls die because of missiles, which the Americans still have no shame to actually admit that they've done it. They're still sort of obfuscating that. And also, given that they pushed for color revolutions time and time again based on the Mahsa Amini PSYOP and tried to push feminism and women's issues and freedom and life as their slogan, what kind of freedom and life do those young girls now have? And this kind of Epstein regime, Epstein axis, which obviously clearly used that as a way of lying. And my final question is really, is erasure of the US and its bases and its footprint in West Asia one of the goals of this retaliation by Iran, this response to this imposed war? And is the dismantling of Israel as we know it now part of that that aim as well?
It's a 160 little girls. Not only murder a couple of dozen of their teachers and school staff, they did it on the first wave. That means that these targets were carefully chosen. After a few weeks, someone could claim that mistakes are being made every now and then. Someone could claim that. But this was the first wave. They've been working on this for months. They know everything about every target. This was intentional. And even worse than that is that they tried to blame the victim with implausible lies. The war hadn't even yet started for Iran to fire missiles. And Iran does not have Tomahawk missiles. But they tried to blame Iran, and Western media was silent for a full week. Only after a week, the world was discovering what had happened. Did the New York Times make a move, and that was basically because of their antagonism towards Trump. Until this moment, no one has apologized. But in any case, the Iranians will no doubt make sure that its demands are met, and Iran wants to make sure that in future, these Arab family dictatorships, if they survive the war, can no longer be a place where the United States can conspire against Iran, murder Iranians, and impose hegemony upon our region. That will no longer be allowed. And in addition to that, Iran will demand full reparations from these regimes. And Iran will make sure that its allies across the region are part of this package. And Iran will not accept any ceasefire, because Iran knows that Trump will simply regroup his forces, his allies will regroup and rearm and attack Iran again. We already saw that happen. This is the second war in 8-9 months.
Is there a moral responsibility for the likes of China and Russia, who, let's face it, they did fail in terms of preventing the Americans imposing the Board of Peace, the so-called Board of Peace, Trump's takeover, his estate management exercise for Gaza, on the blood and bones of those children and civilians that they murdered, the hundreds of thousands, not just the tens of thousands, which people still try to push. Is Iran really having to make this stand on its own? Because, you know, you'd have thought that if the Chinese and the Russians, who have a veto on the Security Council, I mean, they surely should be pushing for peace, because if it heads all the way, there's a nuclear aspect to this war, which this kind of psychopathic Israeli regime and the president of the US, which they clearly seem to have something on, they seem to have something on him for him to keep accepting this kind of crazy situation where the whole world is spiraling into some kind of, you know, World War III scenario already. Do you think that there's going to be some action we're going to see genuinely from the bigger powers?
Iran's relationship with Russia and China are very good, and Iran has cooperation with them at all levels. And whatever one might say about their position in the UN Security Council, it is much better than what we've seen from these regional regimes, which have sided with the West and have cooperated with the West against the resistance, whether it's the regime in Baku or in Ankara or in Riyadh or anywhere else in the region, in Cairo. They've all collaborated with the West, even though their peoples obviously are with Palestinians and with the resistance, no doubt. But how can one expect countries outside of the region to do more when countries in the region are collaborating with the enemy? When these regimes are actually collaborating, when they're standing shoulder to shoulder with Netanyahu and Trump. There's no doubt about that. None of them have cut off ties. The ones that had official ties, they still do. Those that had unofficial ties, they still do. Those that did business, they still have that business. Those who have military cooperation, they still have that cooperation. Those who transport or sell oil, they still do so. Those who hosted U.S. bases still host them. Those who allow U.S. jets or NATO jets to fly overhead to help the Israelis against Iran or the Americans against Iran, they still do that. So they're all complicit. So, of course, Iran would like Russia and China to be more assertive, but the position that they've taken is far more moral than what we're seeing from the so-called Muslim governments.
Well, thank you, Professor Morandi. Well, that gives us a really clear overview of what Iran is kind of doing in response. And it does seem to me that it's taking on an entire Epstein axis, which I think is very significant in terms of the implications of where humanity is going. And I probably wouldn't be exaggerating if I now say that the Islamic Republic of Iran stands as the bastion of civilizational values, a nation which has been derided as being medieval, having mullahs who are running it, is actually now teaching the world what morality is in terms of the stand it's taking and the sacrifice its people are giving. I think that's absolutely impossible to deny now. And the fact also remains that Iran has done this on its own back. It's not relied on support from anybody under economic sanctions and economic terrorism for entire period of post-revolutionary Iran. And it's done this, of course, without any support from the international movements, which say that they're anti-imperialist. In fact, we're noticing that a lot of the hypocrisy that exists within so-called international anti-imperialism, other than the ordinary free public on the ground, those organizations look quite compromised. Some of them look like they might well be deep state, MI5 and other agency run outfits. So there's a lot of people being exposed, as you say. And there's, I think, Gaza, followed by what's going on in Iran, probably won't leave anybody in any doubt as to who are with the civilization values, whether I can call them prophetic values, Abrahamic values, whatever you want to call them, humanitarian values. That's the question I think people need to continue asking and ask themselves, you know, who are actually the good guys and who do we need to support in this situation in order to have a better world tomorrow? In my mind, there's no doubt that that is the Islamic Republic of Iran. You, the viewers, will make up your own mind. We're going to ask you to follow Professor Sayyid Mohammed Mirandi on his various programs across Facebook. He's very easy to access. His narratives are hard-hitting, honest, and truthful. And please do reference all the other various programs where he does go on. And of course, like, share, subscribe to the Deep Dive Perspective as well, because we're here as independent media to give you a genuine insight of what legacy Zionist Epstein class media won't let you access. And I thank Professor Mirandi for sharing with us his views under threat of attack and murder, which we know is on the cards as well. So I salute your bravery, Sayyid Mirandi, and we wish the people of Iran well. We wish victory, actually, to the oppressed and defeat for tyranny and oppression wherever it is. And it's not hard to work out who the tyrants and the oppressors are now. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.